Well, it's good to have you joining with us again today. We welcome you in the Saviour's precious and worthy name. Things have taken a big change since last we fellowshiped together, even over the live broadcast. You know that there's now almost a virtual lockdown in our society, and we encourage you to try to abide by that as much as you possibly can. These are serious issues, and we want you all to stay healthy and to stay safe. So please bear in mind the guidelines that our government has set in place, and we will continue to pray for our church family, for every friend and family member within our church and in the wider locality. It is our prayer that God will visit us even in these days. So thank you so much for tuning in, and we do encourage you to spend time around the Word of God, and even as we have these broadcasts, to open the Bible for yourself and to follow along with us as we search the Scriptures together. Thanks so much to those who have sent text messages or emails just regarding the online ministry. It's a very great encouragement to us. It's a little bit unusual standing in an empty church or church hall and speaking into a camera with nobody about, but we are persuaded that there are people listening in, and we pray that God will bless each and every one. We hope to broadcast again live over Facebook on the Lord's Day from 11:30 and then 6:30 in the evening. And again, if you keep your eye upon Facebook, we're uploading very informal daily devotionals each and every day. We hope to continue with that as the Lord allows. We're remembering you all fondly in prayer. We miss your fellowship very much, and we pray that the Lord will encourage us in these days with a real sense of his presence. Just one announcement outside of the norm, and that's regarding our presbytery, and they have called for a day of prayer this Lord's Day, the 29th of March, just in our homes or wherever we're found, from 2 o'clock to 4 p.m. in the afternoon of this coming Lord's Day, the 29th of March. I'm going to read a psalm together, Psalm 57. And again, if you've got a Bible, as I'm sure you have, near at hand, lift it, follow along with us, and let's read the Word of God together from Psalm 57. And the title of the psalm is regarding David when he fled from Saul in the cave. Verse 1 has these words, and this is our text for tonight, Psalm 57, verse 1, but we'll read the whole psalm. David says, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and shall save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. Even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me. Into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." And God will bless the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts for his own sake and for his own glory. Over the last few days, I've been thinking much upon Psalm 57. and verse number 1. And it's interesting that I was in conversation with one of our church elders on the phone just yesterday, and he had remarked that he had read Psalm 57 in his devotions and was greatly encouraged through the first verse of that psalm. So we believe that the Lord is speaking to us through these words, even at this time. Psalm 57:1, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto thee, me, for my soul trusteth in thee." And then our text for today, "Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer and let's call upon the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we rejoice once again that we come before the God of heaven. We thank thee that thou art a God who is almighty, the only true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Our Father, we come before thy throne in the Saviour's name, thanking thee, O God, for all of the worth and merit and value of his atoning blood. We thank thee for that blood that not only redeems us and cleanses us from all of our sin and purifies our very consciences from dead works to serve the living God. We thank thee as well that that blood gives us access this very hour to thy throne. And we pray in the Saviour's name that thou wilt encourage thy people. We thank thee for every brother and sister who's watching on, and we pray, Lord, for those who maybe are listening in who do not know the Lord. O God, we pray that in these dark and difficult and troublesome days that many will find the Saviour. We're praying, O God, for a move of thy Spirit. We pray that the Holy Ghost will come and be our comforter at this time, and that thou wilt minister grace into every heart and life. Lord, remember our church family especially. We pray for them. Pray, Lord, for those that are aged, for those that are shut in, for those, O God, who have health concerns. Pray, Lord, for those who have got young families. O God, we pray for those who have got concerns about their employment. Lord God, we know that these things are difficult, they're hard. But, O God, our Father, we thank thee that thou art in control, working all things out together for good to them that love God. And, Lord, we do love thee today. And Lord, we love thee because thou hast first loved us. Open our hearts to thy word. Open thy word to our hearts. Help us now. We humbly pray in Jesus' name. We pray that thou wilt undertake for all of the technical issues today. But most of all, we pray that spiritually thou wilt bless thy word and write it upon our hearts, O God. Hear and answer prayer. We ask it all in the Saviour's name and for God's everlasting glory. Amen. Psalm 57 is a prayer. It's very much a prayer of distress. Like Psalm 42 that we considered on the Lord's Day evening, it is also a psalm of isolation. And therefore, it is a psalm that you can make your very own at a time like this. There's always something for the Christian in the book of Psalms. And at a time whenever many are isolated and many are shut in, a psalm like this is ever more precious to us. The title indicates the context of the psalm because it says it is a psalm or a miktam of David when he fled from Saul in the cave. And it was therefore written whenever David fled, of course, from Saul in the cave of En-Gedi. And that account is spoken of in 1 Samuel chapter 24 and the verse number 3. "And he came," this is Saul, "came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave." David had fled from Saul because Saul was a man who was destroyed, ruined by pride, and ruined as well by envy. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14 and verse number 30, "Envy is the rottenness of bones." Envy is the rottenness of bones. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of bones. Envy can affect people even physically and bring them low in that regard. And then, regarding pride, Proverbs 13 and 10 says, only by pride cometh contention. And David was facing contentious days, all because of the pride and all because of the envy of Saul. But here we read in 1 Samuel chapter 24 and verse number 4 that David showed great mercy unto Saul. He could have taken Saul's life at that time to protect his own, but he didn't. We read in verse 4 of 1 Samuel 24, the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave, and went on his way. David showed mercy to Saul, despite Saul's envy, and despite Saul's pride, and despite Saul's desires even to slay David. David was proving the principle of what the Lord would later on go on to speak about in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And as David writes this particular psalm, Psalm 57, he himself recognizes his own need for mercy in the situations that he's facing. He says, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. And as a nation today, we need mercy. We need the mercy of God in our homes, in our families. We need the mercy of our God. David recognizes his need for mercy. But not only does David recognize his need, but David reaffirms his trust. He says, for my soul trusteth in thee. Simple trust is ever foundational to the Christian life. There's nothing sentimental about trust. We often have this kind of thought that trust is a kind of ethereal, sentimental thing, but trust is a very real and a very practical thing. Proverbs 3 and 5, those familiar words, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not onto thine own understanding. We cannot understand exactly what's going on in these days in which we're living. We don't know the ways of the Lord. We don't know what's going on in high places. We don't know what's going on behind closed doors. We don't know the extent of this virus. But we can trust in Him at all times. And we do not need to lean on our own understanding. But we can trust in a power much higher than our own. Psalm 57, verse 1, the second part of the verse is our text. And I want to speak for a little while this evening upon riding out the storm. Riding out the storm. In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. What a text. In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Four simple thoughts to leave with you out of this text. First of all, you will notice that David speaks about a period of strife. A period of strife. He speaks about these calamities. In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. This verse speaks about a period of strife. Now that word that is translated calamities in our English Bible denotes an event associated with evil. An event associated with destruction or even ruin. And David recognizes that these calamities are very real. You see, there were calamities that were peculiar to David at that particular time in his life. David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man with the anointing of God in his life, and there is such a thing, Christian, as the anointing of God. Jesus Christ himself experienced it in a wonderful way. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach. We need the anointing of God amongst the people of God in these days. David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man anointed of God, set apart by God, chosen of God, and yet all of those things did not exempt him from calamity, from trouble, from even seeming destruction and ruin as Saul sought to kill him. Let me read from 1 Samuel in chapter 18, just to get the context of why King Saul is adamant that he wants to slay David. We read in 1 Samuel 18 and verse number 5 that David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, behaved himself wisely. Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the woman came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, with instruments of music. And the woman answered one another as they played, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s. And to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. Saul was filled with jealousy, envy, because of his proud heart. David was getting more praise and seemingly enjoying more success than Saul. Saul was successful as well, of course, but he was jealous of the way God was blessing another man. We read in 1 Samuel 19 and verse number 9, the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. The next chapter, chapter 20, and verse number 42, Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn, both of us, in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed. David had to depart into the wilderness, he felt, because of this tremendous threat from King Saul. We might say that David had to self-isolate, his life, his future, his health, all being under threat. There were calamities that were peculiar to David, and there are calamities that are particular now to ourselves. You don't need me to elaborate with this COVID-19 pandemic, the lockdown that we are now facing and experiencing, the threat to our families, the threat to our health, the threat to our businesses, the threat to the economy, the threat to the vulnerable, the threat to the elderly, and as it is presently, there is no end in sight. We do not know how long this is going to last. It might last a month, it might last a fortnight, it might last several months. We just don't know. But I think it's safe to say that we're facing days of trial, days of trouble, days of calamity. I think it's all a foretaste of more to come, because the Lord said when he spoke about pestilence and earthquakes in divers places, all of these, Matthew 24 verse 8, are the beginning of sorrows. A period of strife, peculiar to David, particular to ourselves, but we ought to remember that the Lord is providential in the whole thing. Let us never forget that our God is sovereign. And even in these hard and difficult days, whenever we find it difficult to get real solid answers, even in the hardest of circumstances, we need to remind ourselves that God is in control. He's sovereign in all of his ways. The Shorter Catechism asks the question, what are the decrees of God? The decrees of God are his eternal purpose, according to the counsel of his will, whereby for his own glory He has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. That's a remarkable statement. We believe it's biblical because the Bible says in Ephesians 1, 11 and 12, concerning him in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him. This is the word of God, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory. That's the Holy Spirit speaking there through the Apostle Paul, speaking of God who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. God is absolutely sovereign. If God wasn't sovereign, if God wasn't in control, he wouldn't be God at all. But he is God. And he is Lord of all. Revelation 19:6 declares, "The Lord God omnipotent reigneth." And that's so true. We sing a lovely little chorus from time to time. It's called God's Power. My God is bigger than I am, strongest of all. He is able to make the summer turn into fall. He controls all that happens. His power is plain to see. And I know that I can trust him, for with his power, he cares for me. He is not the author of sin, but he is sovereign in all things. We can't understand it. Don't ask me to explain it, because if I could, then I would be explaining the very secret things of God, things that our little finite minds cannot understand. The book of Deuteronomy says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord, but the things which are revealed belong to us and to our children." And I can't understand the secrets of God. We can't understand the ways of the Lord. His ways are higher than ours. They're past finding out. His thoughts are much greater than ours. But we can rest assured and trust him who is sovereign, even in the bad times as well. I love the words of Genesis 50:20, whenever Joseph, at the end of that whole story, spoke to his brothers, having been sold into slavery, having been presumed dead by his father, having been put into a prison cell, and all of these terrible and difficult things happened. And you often read about Joseph self-isolating many times, maybe against his own will as well. But at the end of it all, he said in Genesis 50:20, "As for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass that it is this day to save much people alive." Even in the death of a little sparrow, our God is in control. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 29, Jesus Christ, our Lord, says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father." His eye is on the sparrow. Martin Luther, the great reformer, said the greatest preacher that he ever saw was a little robin that came to the windowsill of his study every morning as he put out some food for it. And he looked at that little robin that always had a song. It always was vibrant and healthy. It always had enough to eat and to feed her young as well. And Luther said, "That little robin preaches to me every day about the care of our Father God." So in this text of Scripture, Psalm 57:1, there's a period of strife. But praise God, there's more than that. There's also a place of safety. David says, "In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." A period of strife, these calamities, a place of safety, the shadow of thy wings. We have looked at this little phrase a number of times over recent years, and even as a matter of fact over recent days, and it is a recurring theme within the Scriptures, the shadow of his wings. Exodus chapter 19 and verse number 4. "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself." The epistle, the little book of Ruth, chapter 2, and verse number 12, it was said to Ruth, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." The book of Psalms, Psalm 17, and verse number 8. "Keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Psalm 36, verse number 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. And then that wonderful Psalm 91. Who could ever tire of reading these words? Psalm 91, verse number 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. You might recall as well our Lord's words to the city of Jerusalem in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23 and verse number 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Jerusalem was so privileged with prophets and priests and pastors and ministers of the word, and the object lesson of the temple and all of the wonderful things that went on there, and yet they rejected their Messiah whenever he came. And the Lord says, how often would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chicks? But you stoned the prophets. You cast out those who were sent unto you. You wouldn't have me to reign and rule over you. You wouldn't trust in me. You wouldn't abide under the shadow of my wings. And I wonder, is that the Lord's word to this land of ours? Ulster, Ulster, how often would I have gathered you under my wings, but ye would not. Maybe God is speaking to somebody that's listening and you're not yet a Christian, and the Lord would save you, but you won't come. Why not come even now at such a time as this? And yet for the Christian, there's a place of safety, being in the shadow of his wings. You know, this denotes, I believe, several things. Whenever the psalmist said, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, I believe he was speaking about a place of covering. A place of covering, or a place of protection. And Isaiah gives us a lovely picture of how the Lord protects his own. In Isaiah 25:4, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Jesus Christ our Lord is a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, covering and protection. You know, the hymn writer William Cushing wrote that lovely hymn, O safe to the rock that is higher than I, my soul in its conflicts and sorrows would fly. So sinful, so weary, thine man would I be, thou blessed rock of ages. I'm hiding in thee in the calm of the noontide and sorrow's lone hour. In times when temptation casts o'er me its power, in the tempest of life, on its wide heaving sea, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. How oft in the conflict and pressed by the foe, I have fled to my refuge and breathed out my woe. How often when trials like sea billows roll, have I hidden in thee, O thou rock of my soul. Hiding in thee, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. There's a covering under the shadow of his wings. There's also closeness under the shadow of his wings. Being in his shadow denotes closeness to him, to be in his immediate presence. Beloved, what do we really know about the presence of God? You know, I believe that maybe as a church, as Christian families, we've been going through the motions for years, coming into church, going out of church, saying the odd prayer for those that are afflicted and whenever trial and adversity comes. But what do we really know about the presence of God in our lives? Closeness to the Master. I believe it also speaks of care. Peter exhorted us in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And as that mother hen gathers her brood under her wings, it shows her love, her care, her concern, even for her own. And it also speaks of comfort. You know, my Bible readings this morning, I am following McShane's Bible reading plan at present. This morning it took me to John 14, the familiar words of that great chapter where the Lord says in the opening verse, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Verse 16, the Saviour says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Verse 18, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You see, as we ride out the storm, there's a place of covering. There's a place of closeness. There's a place of care, and there's a place of comfort. And it's under the shadow of his wings, close to his very heart. We often read about the Apostle John leaning on the Lord's breast. John 13:23, "Now there was leaning on Jesus' breast one of his disciples whom Jesus loved." And as we come to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, under the shadow of his wings, it's there that we really experience in a wonderful, real and intimate way the very love of God. George Robinson wrote the great hymn, "Love with Everlasting Love, led by grace that love to know." And in one of the verses of that lovely old hymn, he says, "Things that once were wild alarms cannot now disturb my rest, closed in everlasting arms, pillowed on the loving breast. Oh, to lie forever here, doubt and care and self-resign, while he whispers in my ear, I am his. And he is mine." The Creator of all things, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, God the Son, God of very gods, "I am his, and he is mine, and I can abide under the shadow of his wings." Because in the period of strife, there's a place of safety. And as David considers the period of strife, and as he meditates upon the place of safety, you'll notice as well that David has a purpose of soul. Look at what he says, "In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge." There's his purpose of soul. If God is real, if there's a place of safety where I can be covered and close and cared for and comforted, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to resolve in my very soul, in my very heart, that I will make my refuge in the shadow of thy wings. You immediately see that David was proactive. David wasn't a fatalist. David wasn't complacent either. David purposed in his heart that he was going to avail himself of the Lord's protection, of the Lord's presence, of the Lord's grace, of the Lord's comfort. And we too, at a time like this, ought not to be fatalistic and think, well, it's all beyond our control. And yes, of course it is, but we can't just sit back and do nothing. We can't be complacent either and say, well, whatever will be, apathetic. We need to be proactive, decisive, and purpose in our hearts that we are going to abide in the shadow of his wings. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 10 is a wonderful verse. Listen to what it says. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." The righteous runneth into it. Now, many of us know that the Lord is a strong tower. Many of us know that he's almighty. Many of us believe the promises, but we need to be proactive. Just as the righteous here, they run. They fly to the Savior. They come to him with purpose of heart and with great endeavor. I read a lovely story this morning. I'm just going to read it out of this little devotional book. "The cold, hard eyes of Adolf Hitler locked onto Martin Niemöller. But the courageous clergyman didn't flinch. We too, as Christians and clergymen, have a responsibility to the German people," said Niemöller. "That responsibility was entrusted to us by God. And neither you nor anyone in this world has the power to take it from us. The Fuhrer angrily turned away that evening. Neumüller's rectory was ransacked, and a bomb later went off in his hall. Shortly after, Neumüller mounted the pulpit of his church in Berlin, saying, "It is a testing time, and God is giving Satan a free hand." In June 1937, Neumüller was seized by the Gestapo and led and held in solitary confinement until his trial the following February. His situation was perilous, for the indictment against him comprised 14 typewritten pages. On the morning of his trial, he was led from his cell by a green uniformed official. Through eerie underground passageways they went, the two of them from prison to the Nazi court. A sense of terror overwhelmed Neumüller, a dread for himself, his family, and his church. He feared the death camps. A maze of tunnels was dark and silent for the echoes of their footsteps. As the two men ascended their last flight of stairs, Neumüller seemed to hear a voice, hushed and whispered, repeating some words. He strained to listen, and they came again more clearly. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe." It was the guard speaking under his breath. Neumüller gave no sign of hearing the words, but from that moment his fear was gone, replaced by an indescribable peace and assurance that never left him, even during the next 7 years of suffering, even through his darkest days at a concentration camp. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." You know, the old Puritans and Reformers used to speak about applying the means of grace. We hardly know what that is nowadays. Using and profiting from the Word of God. Taking the promises and bringing them back to the throne of grace. Enjoying real intimate prayer and fellowship with God. We must set about these things and draw nigh to God. Now we've got all the time that we need to stand in the Word, to stand in prayer, to be still and to know that He is God, and to really get to know Him. In this situation, we are being given an opportunity to draw near to God, to get really into the presence of God. And let's have that purpose of soul to abide in this place of safety and get to know our Lord better. We are being given and afforded a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Leonard Ravenhill, the famous preacher at the age of 44, was staying in Norwood Hotel in California in 1951, and a great fire broke out. Three people lost their lives. Ravenhill was staying on the third floor of that hotel, and a prayer warrior from Lisburn, a 74-year-old man by the name of Tom Hare, they called him the praying plumber, was in the room next door. And as the hotel began to fill with smoke, Ravenhill awoke and sought to escape the building and couldn't find a way out, and went next door and lifted a semi-conscious Tom Hare, opened the window of his room and dropped this brother out onto the icy sidewalk below. Then jumped out himself from the third floor. He became a hero, but he was seriously injured. He broke several bones in his back. He suffered severe burns. He had internal injuries. And he had a long stay in a local hospital where he was put into a full body cast. He couldn't study. He couldn't preach. He couldn't travel. He couldn't minister, he couldn't visit, he couldn't do all of the things that he'd been so used to doing for years. But he says at that time of being laid aside, isolated completely, robbed of all of my ability even to move, he says, "I learned to worship. I learned to worship." We can learn to really worship God at this time. Perhaps for years we have let things slip and let other things come in, and we haven't heard the Savior knocking at our heart's door. You know, in this wonderful text of Scripture, there's a period of strife, there's a place of safety, there's a purpose of soul, but there's also a prospect of salvation. "Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. One old Puritan said, afflictions may be lasting, but they are not everlasting. A little phrase comes up in Scripture. We read it even earlier when we were reading about David, and it came to pass. It's one of the most popular phrases in the Bible, and it came to pass. It reminds us that all things are transitory. It reminds us that God, of course, is in control, and He's the one that brings things to pass. And David knows that his calamities will come to pass. Noah's isolation in the ark ultimately came to pass. The Jews' slavery and bondage in Egypt, it came to pass. Israel's captivity in Babylon came to pass. Daniel's stay in the den of lions came to pass. Jonah's vigil in the belly of the whale came to pass. The 400 silent years between Matthew and Malachi came to pass. Paul's imprisonments came to pass. And David says these calamities will come to pass as well. In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. There's always with God a prospect of salvation, even a promise of salvation for His people. And by salvation I mean deliverance. And this COVID-19 will, God willing, come to pass. David's calamities came to pass. So will yours. And so will mine. Because there's always a better day ahead for the Christian. Let me just finish by reading to you the words of a lovely old hymn. When you feel weakest, dangers surround, subtle temptations, troubles abound, nothing seems hopeful, nothing seems glad, all is despairing, even times sad. Keep on believing, Jesus is near. Keep on believing, there's nothing to fear. Keep on believing, this is the way, faith in the night as well as the day. If all were easy, if all were bright, where would the cross be? Where would the fight? But in the hardness, God gives to you chances of proving that you are true. Let's prove to God today that we're true to Him. And let's prove as well the sufficiency of His grace at a time like this. In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Riding out the storm in a place of safety. May God bless His word to your hearts. Let's pray together. Gracious God and loving Father, we pray that You will write Your word upon our hearts today. Encourage every child of God that's listening to this broadcast. We pray that the word of God will have free course and be glorified. Make Thy word a blessing. Encourage the saints of God in these days. Help us to ride out the storm. Help us, Lord, to draw nigh to God in these days. And to abide under the shadow of thy wing. Hear and answer prayer. Thank you, Lord, for thy word, for this wonderful, wonderful truth, and for all of the promises in this book. We ask it all in the Saviour's name and for God's everlasting glory. Amen.